by the same spirit. So the next, there are diversities of ministries, which we call differences of administration. And that's what diakon is. And the last one is diversities of operations, which is what basically energen or energio. Now, the thing you need to realize is the next verse from 4 is ministries. I told you, remove the concept of verses that is going to make sense. So you'll find out that he's discussing ministries. The next verse talks about ministry, which is the word diakonia. Now, the ministry that we have here is not just any kind of ministry, but ministry in Christ. I recall people have a way of thinking that they can just define words. People say, well, family is your ministry. And I'm wondering how you got that. How can your family be your ministry? For something to be a ministry, it has to be ministry of the charisma, ministry of the gifts of the Spirit, or gifts in the Spirit. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Say to Archippus, let's read that now. Colossians 4, 17. Are you there? Where do we get ministry from? You don't get ministry from being born. You don't get ministry from your birth. All right? Colossians 4, 17. Are you there? Let's read it now. Let's go. Say to who? Uh-huh. You'll receive where? Where do you receive it? In the Lord. In Christ. All right? So that means it's something found in Christ. Don't say in Christ. You'll find that in Christ. So for you to find it in Christ, okay, pay attention now. Anything you find in Christ has to be a gift of grace. It has to be a ministry of grace. What is given to you freely in Christ. Now quickly look at Matthew's Gospel chapter 10. How is ministry given? Matthew's Gospel chapter 10, verse 5. Jesus sends out the 12. Matthew's Gospel chapter 10, and then verse 5. He sends out the 12 and see what he says to them. How do you describe a ministry in Christ? Matthew's Gospel chapter 10, verse 5. Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Verse 6, or verse 8, pardon me. Cast out devils, freely you have received. Freely give. Notice, he uses the word freely. Same way we have the word charis. Freely, that which you didn't work for. That which you didn't do anything to get. So if ministry is in Christ, it's a ministry of grace. It's a ministry based on grace. So, you quit believing anybody who says, well, he had to go to the forest, or maybe the forest came to him, and then somewhere along the line, the Lord looked at his heart and gave him a ministry. That is an Old Testament application of the word ministry. Ministry here, and I told you, I believe I did, today, I think it was today when I was teaching you on the subjection to the gospel of Christ. And I said to you, remember, that the priests were serving God, all right? But they are not believers, all right? And many of them perished in unbelief, okay? So people can be serving, all right? And they are serving out of a different kind of ministry altogether. So he says this ministry, if it's in Christ, is freely given. There's nothing you did or you will do that will merit the work or the work you're given. Now look at one thing again Paul says. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. How is this kind of ministry? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Before you go there, 1 Timothy 1, 12, get back to 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. 1 Corinthians 12, so you go to 1 Timothy 1, 12. I'm going to just read 1 Corinthians 12, 7. He says, now, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? To who? Every, all, are the characteristics of grace. Every, all. Let me put it like this. even where there's a distinction in ministry, for example, and then he, in the body, he makes some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Pay attention now. That's a gift for or in the body. So the ministry gift is a gift to the body. So it's still a gift of grace. That is, it belongs to all of us. Whatever is given to anybody, all right, which a unique ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher, it's still given to all of us. The apostle's office, the prophet's office, evangelist office, the pastor and teacher office, it is a ministry of grace for everybody. It's still for everybody to every man. Are you still there? Now go back to, so it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. But manifestation is the word phanerousis. Phanerousis means visible, naked, without a shadow at all. It is given to every man to profit with all. That word is used two times. Second time is used 2 Corinthians 4:2. The manifestation of the truth. The manifestation of the truth. Where manifestation is used, light is inferred. Light. The manifestation of the truth. If our gospel be hid, is he to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, before let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ Jesus, who is the image of God, shall shine on them. Shine. That is, where there's manifestation of the Spirit, we have open vision. That is, we have things clearly seen. Things are clearly seen, and definitely things are clearly received. So two things manifestation talks about. Information and access. I'll take that one more time. Information and access. So first, Timothy chapter 1 and then verse 12. Are you in church? First Timothy 1 and 12. First Timothy 1, 12. Paul writing about his own ministry. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. Every time you refer to a ministry in Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, 5, the thanks will only go to Jesus. I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord, or our Lord, who hath enabled me. The word enabled is the word strengthen. Is the word endunamo. E-N-D-U-N-A-M-O-O. Is used 7 times. Okay? Acts 9:22. Strengthened. Acts 9:22. Put your hands there. Let's just run through all those scriptures. Acts 9:22. Strengthened. Acts 9:22, strengthened. Paul increased the more in strength. Acts 4:20. He staggered not the promise of God, but was strong in faith, strengthened in faith. Acts 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Acts 6:10. Sorry, Ephesians 6:10, pardon me. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. 2 Timothy 2:1. 2 Timothy 2:1. Be strong in the grace of that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Every time that is used, okay, pay attention now. It's used for being full of power. That means it's given to you full of power. It equips you fully. So look at that. I thank Jesus the Lord, our Lord, who strengthened me. The next thing he says, pay attention now. 1 Timothy 1:12. Strengthens me. What else? For that he what? 1 Timothy 1:12. For that he what? For that he what? Counted me faithful. Counted me faithful is the word hegomai. Hegomai. It means to esteem me. It's used for opinion, a high opinion. Counted me. It's used for, that word hegomai is used for leaders, rulers, those that we rate higher. So how does he rate you? He rates him faithful. So they're faithful. Pay attention now. This is someone who had not done ministry before. That is, you call someone faithful after he had done the job. But he says no. He rates me highly by calling me faithful. So this is a ministry of grace. faithful. Faithful to someone who hadn't preached. Faithful to someone who hadn't taught. He counted me, Hegemiah, faithful. Putting me, that's the word committed to me, ministry. So if Paul is saying there are differences of administration, diaconia, this is what he's talking about. Putting me into the ministry. Who was before blasphemer, persecutor. Considered him injurious. But I obtained what? Mercy. I obtained what? Mercy. Pay attention. Because I did it in ignorance, or ignorantly, in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So, this defines why the gifts are charis. He counted me faithful. He sees me what? I was injurious as a persecutor. But that was not his opinion. It was the ministry of grace. Hallelujah. It's not a ministry you earned because you went to Sinai and prayed for 40 days. No. He counted me faithful. His opinion of you, grace, just like salvation. So Paul, now this is funny because this is a Paul who encounters several encounters. Acts 9, he had encounters. He was going on the way to Damascus, a road to Damascus, and he's fallen by light. He had encounters. In Acts 16, he saw a man of Macedonia. Acts 16. In Acts 22, he had Jesus say to him, "You will testify of me." In Acts 26, an angel appeared to him. In 2 Corinthians 12, in verse 1, he says, "If we come, let us come to visions and revelations of the Lord." I remember one time, me and my friends, we wanted to, like we say in those days, come upon some folks. So that's the reason we just tell them, "You want to boast? Now let's come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Let's talk about it." You know, I said, when I read that scripture, I always remember what we used to do then. Let's come to it. How many have you seen? Hallelujah. But yet, that was not the basis of his ministry. He had all that to talk about, but he says, it was done by grace. So, a ministry in Christ Jesus is by grace. The qualification you have for it is freely given. So, it's freely given. That's why a Paul would be so angry for anyone basing ministry on visions. For example, Galatians 1:8. Says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, Galatians 1:8, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Colossians 2:18. Paul, he says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Somehow, that looks like something. Backslap on Peter somehow, but then, Peter in Acts 10, he had an angel tell him, kill and eat. And Paul is saying, let nobody be God. You're telling you that, an angel sent him Cornelius' house, something like that. I'm not saying literally that's what he meant, but, you know, it may have a connotation like that, but he is saying, it's no big deal. So the gospel I preached to you, 1 Corinthians 15:3, how Christ died for our sins according to my vision. According to what? The scriptures. His bread raised again third day according to what? The scriptures. So, unique truth about a New Testament ministry is that it's received by grace. You hear me? It's received by grace. Hallelujah. It's received by grace. It's not received by man. Is received by grace. So, it's not a function of vision or what you saw. No. It's by grace. So, in 1 Corinthians 3, and that's why these folks had a, go to Acts 3. There was a way they spoke. And I want you to take note of the words they used in Acts 3. Peter says this after he had walked a miracle, a big miracle. And that's in Beautiful Gate, or Gate called Beautiful. Acts 3, in verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk?" The word holiness means our devotion to God. "We have made this man to walk." They spoke in such terms to take the focus off them, because it's a ministry of grace. Acts 14, Paul said the same thing himself and Barnabas, when he said they came in likeness of God. In verse 15, "Why do you do these things?" Acts 14. He says, "We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and sea, and all things that are therein." He says, "We are just like you." In the ministry of grace, the man says, "I'm just like you." In the ministry of the New Testament, the man says, "I'm just like you. I'm just like you." A man of like passions. Same way James preached in James 5:16. Elijah was a man of like passions. 1 Corinthians 3. So in the New Testament ministry, it's received by grace. It's received by what? The charisma, 1 Corinthians 4, is grace. So what the mode of service is also grace. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3. Grace is what? Freely given. 1 Corinthians 3. "I have planted," I'll start from 5. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord," what? You there? And let's go. Verse 5. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man." Notice that. He what? He gave to every man. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God that gives the increase." Notice, God who gave and God who gives. Two things. He gave and gives. He gave and gives. In ministry. Diakone. So ministry is given by what? Huh? Come on, guys. Come on. Are you in this church? It's given by what? And it's received by what? Not because you went on a dry fast. No. And not because you served under the great man of God. It's by grace. The encounters may look like your own act, but see, the encounters are just you receiving freely what was given freely. Pay attention. So, ministry is by grace. 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Then go to 1 Corinthians 12, 5 again. One more time. There are differences of administration. Administration in the Lord given by grace. So he says now in verse 6. Now they are what? First one, they are what? What? Of what? Operations. The word operation is the word worketh. Worketh. That worketh means operations 21 times. In New Testament Greek, 21 times. Now, in Matthew's Gospel 14, verse 2, it's used for Jesus. Same thing in Mark's Gospel 6 and 4. Matthew's Gospel 14, 2. Matthew's Gospel 14, 2. Matthew's Gospel 14, 2. Mighty works. Mighty works. Jesus. Then you see it in Romans 7, 5. The law walketh, the law. Romans 7, 5. You discover in a moment, it's a word used a whole lot for God. And in a particular way. Romans 7 and verse 4. Romans 7 and 4. Are you in church? Romans chapter 7, verse 5. Pardon me. "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the Lord, did walk in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But when you leave that, watch how the word walketh is used. Of course, we read 4:12 and verse 6. There are what? Watch how it's used. Come on. We're going to run through the verses together. 1 Corinthians 12:6. Let's get. There are what? There are what? But what? Is the same God which walketh. So I say walketh. All in all. Notice the word walketh. So it's used there, walketh. Verse 11. To another, the walking of miracles. What is it again? Walking of miracles. Verse 11. Walking of miracles. 2 Corinthians 1:6. So the first one, God. The second one, God. 2 Corinthians 1:6. It says, and whether we be afflicted, it's for you, consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which you also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. 2 Corinthians 1:6. 2 Corinthians 4:12. All right, it's not too nice. So then death walketh in us, but life in you. Skip that. Galatians 2:8. Galatians 2:8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship in the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentile. He, God. Galatians 3:5. He that worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. He that walketh miracles. Galatians 5:6. Faith, okay? Faith, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, or circumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. Ephesians 1:11. Ephesians 1:11. According to the eternal, Ephesians 1, that's come on. In whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1:20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set my own right hand in the heavenly place, which he walked in Christ. That's the word walk. Walked in Christ. Ephesians 2:2. Negative. When time passed, he walked according to the course of the world. This world, according to the prince of the power of hair, the spirit that now walketh in pure disobedience. That's not in believing. Walketh. Sin. Same thing. So we can say Ephesians 2:2 and Romans 7:5 are the same. Right? The Romans 7:5 by law. We're saying the same thing. Romans 7:5. Sin walketh in me by the law. Ephesians 2:2. The spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. So Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that walketh in us. We say, well, no matter what you pray, God is going to do above what you ask for. That's literate reading. Literate reading. All right? The power that walks in us. Philippians 2:13. Walk out your own salvation with trembling and fear. For it is God which walketh in you, both to will and to walk of his own good pleasure. The word walk is two places. Walketh in you, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Colossians 1:29. Wherein I also labor, striving according to his walking, which walketh in me mightily. 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 Colossians 1:29. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Oh, sorry. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also we thank we God. Thank we God. Without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually walketh also in you that believe. The word of God, which effectually walketh in you that believe. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Negative. For the mystery of iniquity doth already walk. Only he who now lets will let, until he be taken out of the way. Same way. So Romans 7:5, sin. Ephesians 2:2, sin. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, again, sin. Then the last one is James 5:16. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. walketh. So, we have seen that the word walketh in the epistles, apart from sin, and one place, which is James 5:16, refers to God's work, what the power of God accomplishes. Again, notice the primary use of that word. It relates to the workings of the resurrection. So when it says there are diversities of operations, it's the same God which walketh. That is from the resurrection. Again, it's a walking of grace. With walketh. Are you there? God's power is walking and effective in supply. So everything we read in 1 Corinthians 12, again, relates, pay attention now, relates to what Jesus has accomplished. That's why it will be very funny to try and explain, pay attention, the ministry gift using Old Testament references. You cannot understand prophets of a new covenant reading the Old Testament because they are different things. Same words, but different things. You can borrow some expressions, but you must be very, very careful. I've told you before, every time you want to teach a truth of the New Testament, use an Old Testament example, you have to be very, very careful. Because underlining in most of Old Testament stories is fear, sin consciousness. Are you there? Fear and sin consciousness. So you must know where to remove that in your explanation. If you don't do it, it will be +5, -500. You must be very careful. In fact, I advise, if you have to teach and mention things in the Old Testament, pay attention to this. I'm telling you from experience, and I'm telling you from what I know. You see, you have to lay a good foundation for your audience. So they don't go home having Elijah in their mind. So, because this ministry is by grace. This ministry is not of works. It's by grace. 2 Corinthians 3. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? So, the ministry is by grace. What about the walking? Huh? By grace. Why? Because both the ministry and the walkings are ministries and walkings of the charisma, which are free. 5 and 6 are built upon 4. 1 Corinthians 12. 5 and 6 are built upon what? 4. To understand 5 and 6, you must understand 4. 4 is charisma, freely endowed. So you cannot in any way separate them. Ministering of gifts. Walking of ministries in the gifts. Or gifts in the ministries. 2 Corinthians 3. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 5. I want us to read that together. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5. Let's go. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. I'll wait for you one more time. Let's go. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. See that? Our sufficiency of who? Verse 6. Who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament. That not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So, wait. Who has made us? Now, this already makes it difficult for you to preach yourself. You will have to lie to preach yourself. Because obviously, both the gifts and the ministering of the gifts and the working of the gifts are freely. Do you know that when we pray to minister, we are praying for those we are ministering to? Prayer does not affect the gifts of God. That's why Sometimes you do practically nothing in prayer. Needs to bless people because maybe they prayed for themselves. Prayer does not affect the gift of God at all. Prayer is for those that you minister to. Remember, Jesus' prayer, you know, if you never knew why Jesus prayed, John 17 will open your eyes. He was praying for people. We don't pray for the gift of God to manifest. That's an old, not just Old Testament, is a prayer based in unbelief. Your prayers are for people. Are you there? If we pray for, if you have a program, you organize a program, the prayers are for those who will be there and those who will minister. Because the gifts are working by grace. The ministry is given by grace. If you cannot pray for salvation to be maintained, you don't pray for the gifts of God to work. And if I've ever prayed and you prayed, oh God, I pray concerning my salvation. Father, Lord Jesus. You ever pray like that? Father, Lord Jesus. That's too nitty. Too nitty prayer. Father, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord. You have tried. And it's rare. He said, he that honors the Son honors the Father. So it's cool. You guys say, Father, I pray that this salvation does not go. In the name of Jesus. If you can't pray for salvation, you can't pray for gifts. Because they are both charisma. They are both freely given. But you can pray for growth in salvation. Are you there? So it makes it difficult for you to preach yourself. 1 Corinthians 2:2. So, how have you received ministry? By grace. How is ministry working? By grace. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:2. Paul, I determined not to know anything amongst you. I shared that with you, was it yesterday? Was it yesterday or today? Yesterday morning. Which means, when you are set to preach, you predetermine what you are going to say. I'll come to that in a moment. Never preach emotionally. Because by the time you preach emotionally, you're getting your feelings into the message. Praise God. Don't preach emotionally. And that's quite difficult for many of us because, you know, you want to say your mind. Praise God. You want to say how you feel about something. And you find scripture for it. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16. So, look at this. Did you notice? You know, we said. Now, look at where I came from. The gift working is by grace. The ministry of the gift is by what? You have nothing to boast about. Paul says, I've labored more abundantly than all the apostles put together, yet not I. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Yet not I, but what? The grace of God that is with me. So I say, yet not I. So when you see people bragging, and they often tell you that the reason why he's angry was because he feels in his mind you have equated him and his members. So he's angry. One guy was so angry, he didn't see enough. And it was very, I left the meeting very early, like was before 6. Because I preached at a vigil. So he just looked at me and said, thank you very much. And he was turning and put 200 naira in my hand. I will never forget, 200 naira. Now, I didn't used to collect an honorarium. So I tried to give him back so it didn't drop down. We both looked at him and he walked away and I walked away. It was that bad. He was furious. That how can you say me and my members have the same thing? The law works wrath. He's angry. But you know, it doesn't mean that you have the same thing. It just means that everything you have is by grace. So, that's it. Notice this. That Jesus, do you notice that Jesus is preaching? When Jesus was preaching at anything, he was never preaching at sin. He was preaching and judging hypocrisy or self-righteousness. He was never preaching at sin. Now, you know, we're talking about evangelism. Huh? So, see yourself, you're walking into a place, and they are all gays. They are all gays. 1998, I called this experience, I went to South Africa, and we went, myself and a team, I went to this place where they were having open, very, very open illicit sex. I'd gone to Ghana before that, where we went to a place where they were worshipping sex in the town. And, I mean, they were having sex in the open place. Not in my presence, I didn't see it. But we were told. Okay. And we now were saying, what should we preach? 95. So what should we preach? So they were wondering, because we just left the Bible school training. So where I taught folks and all that. I said, what should we preach? So they wait for me to tell them what to preach. But before I came, they had to give suggestions that somebody should explain the wages of sin. And I'm wondering, do you think they don't know? So I got in there, I tried. I just said, let's tell them, and we tried to explain it. But years after that, I think I'd grown. I thought I'd grown. I had knowledge of salvation through faith, much more. I understood the gift of righteousness, but somewhere in my mind, you know, my background was still there. I'm looking at people on the road in South Africa. I'm thinking, like, what should I bring out? I'm trying to cook up a sermon. How can I affect these people so that they will change? I already understood salvation through faith. I'm teaching it and preaching it, but I'm still feeling bad. Sometimes it's as though they sinned against you. So, I was just watching. I didn't want to talk. Then my friend, Matthew, he got up, whoop, and he was screaming. Ha! He's an evangelist. So we said, screamed on them. They all started running away. So one girl waited and preached to her and all that. And I was relieved the way he preached. My background was relieved. I knew where I was coming from. Sometimes you allow that background to affect how you speak. Because, you know, it takes a while to clean up the mess. That's why some folks, you know, they don't press the reset button. They just mix everything together. So you still see that thing in their sermon. You think that God, and they're angry. Sometimes they're even angry that God is not angry. Now, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, look at Mark's Gospel 7, about hypocrisy. He said, look at you. He said, you walk with traditions. He said to them, is not what someone wears or he eats. Is what he believes in his heart. Verse 13. making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. Say your traditions. Whenever you find people who preach from the law or the law of sin and death, they are always emphasizing things. Things. Things like what you eat, what you wear, couple of stuff like that. What you don't wear, things. So Jesus was really vehement against hypocrites, against self-righteous people. You will never find him speak in those same tones to those who, in the eyes of the world, were sinning. If Jesus walks into a gay bar, he will not talk about homosexuality. Hallelujah. Can you do that? You go to a gay bar and you don't explain how homosexuality is a demonic activity. Can you do it? No, for me, I trust God, I won't. I'm just thinking about it now. I remember when I was in secondary school and they caught one guy who was in the Christian fellowship in the boarding house. And the fellowship did an open denouncement. He was not a really Christian like that. He just used to come. They had a friend. I thought I've told you the story before. Have I shared the story before? I think I did. I did on Sunday. Did I? I must have told the story. That friend was his school son. Did I share the story with you? I did. As I heard, it was his school son. He said, Onoika, is he your friend? No, we just went to the same high school. No, I know. We talk, but not like that. You know. Do you understand? Everybody started walking away. Still walking away because. So I imagine that, and I'm going to a gay bar. There was a sister in our fellowship years back. We went to preach. No, we're going out of fellowship meeting. And so we saw some guys who were smoking weed heavily, not hygiene though. They were smoking heavily. I was angry. Why was I angry? Now I was our pastor. She got born again in our fellowship. She goes there to preach. And I'm angry on the spot, looking at them. I'm angry. Why am I angry? They didn't put it in my mouth. But I'm just angry. I'm the judge of the whole world. So when you, can you enter into a gay bar and not talk about homosexuality? Jesus didn't sit down anyone and explain the reason why fornication is bad. Have you ever learned it from Jesus? Sit down. What are you doing to yourself? Do you know the implication? Do you know how many demons are around the bed when you are doing it? Do you know he didn't say things like that? So can you go to talking to a prostitute and say, when you are doing it, what are you thinking? And you tell people, she was convicted. Let me tell you the truth. If a moral instructor goes to her, she will have the same feeling. It's not the Spirit of God. The same feeling. I know they've had your parents tell you about what you did wrong and you felt really bad. And you cried so much. If my dad lectures you. I remember when I was younger, he sat me down. That was the week they killed Lawrence Anini and Monday Uzumbo. He said, look at how you are going to end up. What did I do? What did I do? I brought someone's
ruler of. He said, you are, you,
like I told you, I'm going to do a conference on the family. Praise God. Many of us, we understand the message of Jesus Christ, but we don't parent our kids like that. We are still very angry. I'm not saying it's wrong to give your child five-fold ministry. I have not said that. But don't do it out of what? Anger. That's the world. That's not the life of God. Ah, you can't. Hallelujah. How did I get here? To preach. So my dad said, ruler. And the ruler I brought home was the one that had this blade. So he was putting it in my hand like this. You know the one that had blade like this? You know that ruler? That will have something like a blade by the side. You know that ruler? Said, if you can do this, contentment will lead you to stealing to armed robbery to firing squad. I said, ah. Firing squad. But the thing is, as he said those things, I felt that, and I was crying. And from that day, if you borrow me ruler, lend me ruler in the class, I said, I don't want. So if you are going to preach the gospel, don't do moral instruction. Guidance counselor. You know some churches, they go to places and they go and do moral instruction. Who sent you? That's not God. Look at Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach what? The gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be what? Saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. Notice, it's he that believes not. So there's no judgment in the preaching of the gospel. There's judgment in the rejection of the gospel. So judgment is not in your message. Judgment is a consequence of your message not being received. I hope you understand what I just said now. Look at it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He says, what is the condemnation? The condemnation is when men do not believe. So it doesn't come out of your message. Your message is a message of faith for them to believe if they don't believe. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is your message. You are not analyzing their sins. You are telling them about the forgiveness of all their sins. That is the good news of the message. Now, the judgment is when they don't accept what you have said. Now look at Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel chapter 10. Watch this. The judgment in the Gospel. I want to say something now. Please stop writing. Listen, look at, just hear this. The judgment in the Gospel is not about sins. It's about rejection of the Gospel. So if you show anger for people's conduct, that's not the message. The judgment is in their rejection. That is, the judgment is towards unbelief, not towards lying and murder. No. That one is what the gospel takes care of. The judgment is to unbelief. Do you understand? He that believes not. Not he that continues to sin. It's he that believes not. Do you understand? He that believes not. He that believes not. He that believes not. That's where the judgment is. Do you understand the difference? A man can doubt the gospel and is morally right. And is yet judged. Pay attention. Matthew's Gospel 10. You learning something? You're doing evangelism. Matthew's Gospel 10. He says in verse 13, the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it not worthy, let your peace return to you. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. When you depart out, that is, when they have not accepted you, is irrespective of their moral failures or moral successes. What a terminology. He says, you shake off the dust of your feet. What have they rejected? They've rejected salvation. Not that you will go there and see what they are doing and begin to dust your feet. What are you doing? Are you hearing this? Acts 13. Paul did the same thing. Every time he talks about dusting or taking dust off your feet, he's not talking about the conduct of the people. He's talking about their rejection of the gospel. Verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout, honorable men, women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. And they shook off the dust of their feet, verse 51, Acts 13, against them, and came into Iconium. You understand that? Now, what did they judge them over? Sins or unbelief? Follow me. Sins or unbelief? Because your message is forgiveness of sins. Not the opposition. This one is opposition to the gospel. Acts 18, verse 6. Watch this again. Acts 18, verse 6. Verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus was come from Macedonia, Paul pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Let's take 6 together. And when they opposed, come on, when they what? Opposed themselves and blasphemed. He shook his raiment and said upon them, your blood be upon your own head. I'm free. I'm clean. And I'm henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So what were they judging? Their conduct or their opposition to the gospel? Is it clear enough? Is it clear enough? Now, do you notice that? It's not that people say, I'm not believing yet. That's not what he's talking about. It's the fact that they resist it and they oppose it. They resist it and they oppose it. Some guys could say, well, not now. And you come back to them later. Don't say, you believe? Well, I don't believe. They'll bring out of you. Do you believe? I don't believe. That's not what he's talking about. For such men, we're going to see so very soon, you come to them again. Hallelujah. So, it was unseen. Hallelujah. I watch one very stupid video. Now, once in a while, the Lord permits me to watch short things. He just says, you want to have fun? Watch this. Once in a while. And he doesn't allow us to be watching stupid things. But this one said, well, demons have started planning for the body of Christ. And so, and then you knew. And then you put in the video. Now, I don't know whether I've seen it before. What do we do to these Christians? Oh, they say, we will make them to sin. We will cause them to be sleeping with one another. We will cause them to be doing this. And when they do it, say to the demons, oh, that the spirit will now leave them. So that dark spirit, demons. That cannot be the problem. Say, we'll make many of them missing, they miss video. When they miss video, no, the videos just as daft. Religion really makes you stupid. You know, people are very stupid. And if you tell them, what have you done? They say, I know you. You're a grace preacher. I saw that video and the number of shares was into thousands. Shares, likes, views was in tens of thousands. And I told myself, there's work to be done.
These are the kind of things we should play when we just want to have fun. You know, we just laugh. But somebody should laugh over you are crying over.
You need help.
You just, you know, when we want to grab it, you know, one day we're just relaxing, maybe Boxing Day. Everybody just, let's just have fun. Go and bring that video by Evangelist Margaret. You know, we just want to laugh. And we have, you know, we just have a fried turkey as well. Play the second track. You know, you can't. We can't watch those kind of things and be frowning. And you are taking notes. Are you mad? Who is doing you?
Let's see three instances. Are you still there? Look at how Jesus had a woman who was a professional prostitute in Luke's Gospel 7. She came to Jesus and she begins to kiss him. Don't forget his feet.
Can you imagine?
And the people said, if this man were to be a prophet, verse 39, he would know what manner of woman the top prophets were about that touches him, for she's a sinner. Who is a prophet? He said, Surely cowardly. Wait. The Lord is showing me now that last night you had 7 customers. Oh, macaroni. Oh, God.
They thought that was a prophet of Christ. And he just allowed that. She was not a retired prostitute. She was an active one. Imagine you're preaching to a prostitute, you say, how did you get to this state? Tell me about yourself. Is that evangelism? Tell me about yourself. I want to know more about you. Can I know how did you start this business? Do you know the implication? Are you a moral instructor? Hallelujah. What are you asking for? Praise God. Look at what happened.
Jesus brought salvation to her. What did he say to her? Thy sins, verse 48, are forgiven. Your faith has saved thee. Go in peace.
Hallelujah. That's what he did to her. He didn't say a single thing about her profession. He didn't mention it. Who were those who called her sinner?
Sinners like her. They were not just prostitutes. Luke's Gospel again. Chapter 18. A publican and a Pharisee were praying. And the publican said, the Pharisee said in verse 11 and 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithe of all I possess. I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. So we can readily say that this publican must be an extortioner, an adulterer, unjust fellow. And this guy said, I'm not like them. And Jesus says, I tell you, verse 14, this is the gospel. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. That's going to hell. And he that humbles himself shall be exalted.
Can you preach like this? Is it extortioner, adulterer, unjust? And he says, this one, by asking for a propitiation, is more justified. This one shall be abased. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You know, we always have a sermon for those who look very clean. It doesn't matter if you need Jesus. Those who look morally not fine, we have a deep sermon for them with anger. That's not the gospel. You aren't preaching the gospel. That's not how to preach the gospel. Locating. Locating, that's not how to preach the gospel. So this one, who asks for substitution, he's justified. The one puts himself there, he will be obeyed. Are you learning something? 19. The house of Zacchaeus. He says this day, verse 9, salvation is come to this house, for as much as he is a son of Abraham. Look at verse 10. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Look at the sermons of Jesus. They were not about people's moral failures. If Jesus showed any form of anger at all, it was about the rejection of his message. Never about people's lifestyles. He's already their savior. John 8. They brought a woman to him who was caught in the very act. In the very act. What some of us will have done is, well, we'll preach grace publicly and handle her privately. Are they gone? Don't mind them. But you say, Fafa. But you say, that means you must have been me so often for them to catch you. You know the implication of what you are doing? You know the Bible says that he that sleeps with an adulterer, he says his life shall be taken off from the earth. Just know that the reason why you are still surviving is because God has mercy on you. That's why you are still surviving. I said, I'm sorry, sir. No, sorry for yourself. Saying something is wrong, you're saying you're sorry. Is that how to change? Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Have you changed? You know, we feel that we are preaching the gospel. But that's not what he did. He said, where are your accusers? Where are those who accuse you? He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. When he says go and sin no more, he's not saying go and don't commit adultery again. That's not what he's saying. They brought her to him. She didn't come by herself. So go and sin no more. Two times Jesus uses it about faith. Sin in the mind and the gospel of Jesus is unbelief. Go and sin no more. He doesn't say go and stop doing. That's not what he's saying. Believe. Why told the man? He said, if you sin, lest they go and sin no more. Lest, I showed you that. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Lest the worst sickness will come to you. Remember that? Now, that particular person, he was the one that went to meet him. He didn't come to Jesus. You will not come to me that you may have life. He didn't come to Jesus. So go and sin no more. So if Jesus talks about sin, pay attention. In that singular form, is referring to unbelief. That's what he told them in John 8. Unbelief and faith. So hear this. What about people's, if I go somewhere and like that stupid video? Look at Romans 5. Before you go to Romans 5, look at Luke 5. Luke 5, 31, 32. Go to Romans 5 or Luke 5. You learning something? Luke 5, 31, 32. And that's what I was telling a preacher last night. And I said, because there was this issue about where people giving license to sin. And, you know, some elderly ministers were having problems. So, initially, I wanted to respond to them. And I told them something. That was my decision. I said, no. They need more than a response. Many of these ministers need a new foundation. They don't even know Jesus. They don't know him. Many of them, the Jesus they know is in visions. Somebody that met someone on Lagos Ibadan Expressway. That's where they know. That's what they know. Hallelujah. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. Christ in your sermons. Go back home. And he says the Christ I'm talking about is not just his teachings. No. He said it is atoning work. The work he did for sins. That's what we're talking about. Some guys know Sermon on the Mount, but they don't know Sermon himself. You know what I'm saying? You can do seeds on Sermon on the Mount. Blessed those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are you hungry? Brethren, do you thirst? That's not Jesus. Praise God. Luke's Gospel 5. Can we read it together? Verse 31. They that are all need not a physician, but they that are sick. Hallelujah. Do you hear this? The reason, imagine someone seeing a sick person in the hospital say, what's all this? What's all this? Why must you have a headache? Why? 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 Why do you have a headache? What does he have? Stomachache? Oh my God. Oh, it will destroy you. It will destroy you. He said, the sick are the ones that need a doctor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stop stomach aching. It's wrong for you. I said it's wrong for you. He says those who are whole don't need a doctor. I came not to call the righteous. It's a figure of speech. Was sinners to repentance. Why did he say that? Let's say verse 30 together. In fact, let's take verse 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. Imagine, Jesus went to a party made by non-Christians. I said, they were just Facebook. Man of God caught. Is this a man of God? Is that the kind of church you go to? See your pastor, Jesus. That's just the pastor. See, do you know where he was yesterday? Many are called. Few are chosen. He said there was a great company of sinners. Imagine. A great company. And of others that sat down with them. And then the scribes and Pharisees. They are the escorts of Christian bodies. Murmured against the disciples saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? See, they are idiots. Then Jesus answered them. That was a figure of speech. Those that are old don't need a doctor. So he's saying them that they are old. No, he's abusing them. Only this. Are you comfortable among people? You find people and they are in heavy smoking. Or they're atheists. They're looking at them. Angry. It was in the days of Moses. You think you survived what this is you are doing? Why would you, must you refer to the days of Moses? Are those good days? Why are we sent to people? Because they are sinners. Why are you not angry that they are sinners? You are angry because people that you were sent to are sinners. Why were you not righteous when I met you? So I came to call sinners to repentance. Look at Romans 5. You learning something? Romans 5. Oh, I love this. Romans 5 and 20. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. Paul had a play of words in there. He said the law, when it came in, he says, what did the law do? Sin. Okay? That the offense might abound. The word he uses there is paraptoma. Paraptoma means to miss, to make mistakes. The more the law was given, people made more mistakes. There were more mistakes. Sin abounds. The word to abound is the Greek word, pleonazo. P-L-E-O-N-A-Z-O. You find in Romans 5:20. Romans 6:1, 2 Corinthians 4:5. I'll start again. Romans 5:20, Romans 6:1, 2 Corinthians 4:5. 2 Corinthians 8:15, Philippians 4:17, to abound and abase. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, 2 Peter 1:3. I'll start one more time. Romans 5:20, Romans 6:1, 2 Corinthians 4:5, 2 Corinthians 8:15, Philippians 4:17. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, 2 Thessalonians 1:3, 2 Peter 1:8. To increase. To increase. You find you have gays, bisexuals, transsexuals, scandalous things. They do terrible things. Those who converted their bodies. Someone asked me a question. Serious question. I said, what do you do? So if they've converted their bodies already to, he's already a male, he was a female, what do we do? He just preach Christ. He said, what about his change? He said, just preach Christ. Let the grace of God walk in him. He said, because why he asked me that question? He said, in many places they cannot convert back. So what do? Do we call them brothers or sisters? Hallelujah. If some of us, some of the lobsters in Nigeria go to some European countries, they will run back. The way sin has abounded. But it says grace abounds more. So what is our message? He says grace is our message. Hallelujah. What does it mean to abound? That's our work. He's the word shupa perisuo. H-U-P-E-R. P-E-R-I-S-S-E-U-O. You know, shupa perisuo is beyond measure. Now, you find it used in 2 Corinthians 7:4, and I'll tell you what it means. The way it's used by Greek scholars. 2 Corinthians 7:4. I love this word. 2 Corinthians 7:4. I am filled with comfort. I'm exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. Exceedingly joyful. Super perisuo. He doesn't use plenazo. So Paul was doing a play of words. Now that word super perisuo, pay attention now, is used when you want to describe something and you use the air. You know, the air is something you can't measure. The air overwhelms everything. So it says, where grace, where sin abounds, grace now becomes like the air. Hallelujah. It subsumes it. What Christ has done is the grace of God. It takes care of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why, if you find someone, you say, sometimes, you know, in your mind, I mean, be very honest, in your mind somewhere, you think that when you see someone's moral sins, the kind of sins that they are into, someone told me one time, in UI, he looked at me like this, said, there is no level of iniquity I have not done. And he was talking to me about 1 a.m., there's no level of iniquity I've got on. And I'm looking. I said, God loves you. That was the only thing I could say. Because I was saying, my mind was an iniquity. That means the court boy. Must be a court boy, homosexual. Is he a rapist? Is he a murderer? Everything was wrong. Who asked me to be analyzing it? Where sin abounds, grace is like the air. Hallelujah. It's an hyper perusio. It takes care of it. I said, it takes care of it. Are you there? Watch this now. Luke 7. You should know how to preach the gospel. Luke 7. Jesus uses a figure of speech. He said, Peter, I have something to say unto you. Because he knew they were also thinking, what's the master doing with this girl? There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Someone said nothing to pay.
Oh, I like say nothing to pay. Both the person that owed 50 and the person that owed 500, they both have what? Nothing to pay. Hallelujah. Let me say it one more time. Both the one that is 50, said, my own before I got born again was very small. Well, I was brought up in a Christian home. Sometimes, and this one says he owes 500. He said, they both had nothing to pay. Say, we all had nothing to pay. You know, both the gay and the non-gay, the homosexual and the non-sexual, they both have nothing to pay.
He says, tell me therefore, which one of them will love him most? Peter just said, the one that he forgave the most. You have rightly judged. Now, you look at you.
Look at this woman. I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gave me no kiss. And this woman, since the time I came in, she has not ceased, my God, my head with oil. You did not anoint. She did. He said in the verse 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, they love little. They are very harsh in their worship. Very harsh. So that's why that prodigal son story, the other brother was very harsh. He said, your son. He didn't say my brother. Because when they are preaching, they don't call Christians believers. You think you are a Christian? They are always harsh. Self-righteous people are always very harsh in self-righteousness. Hallelujah. Who loves much? He who has been forgiven much. But you know that the forgiveness was the same. Only that one enjoyed it more. In that community where they are all gays, that's where the love of God will be enjoyed more. Should I repeat myself? In that area where religion has made you not to do anything wrong, even though in your heart you were doing everything. Selah. Love of God is never enjoyed among self-righteous people. It's those that are badoes. The badoes. Do you understand? Say grace abounds towards them. Hallelujah. So when you are preaching to people who are morally defaulted and their life is bad, they're excited. You run at sin with the love of God. You run at it. Hallelujah. Say, I'm not telling you to stop smoking. Don't worry. Continue. Just accept this. That no matter what you are doing right now, His blood has been shed for you. That's the message. Hallelujah. It's the goodness of God that changes people's lifestyle. Do you understand? Don't scare them. Praise God. It's just like if you're a doctor and then someone uses the first dose, you say, this thing is still there. I don't know what to do. You know what to do? Your head is still paining you. You remove the head though. What do? You apply more. Hallelujah. He needs an overdose of the love of God. But Pastor, he needs an overdose. Let him hear it more. Praise God. Let him hear it more. Do you think you say, but people are not, if you preach like this, I told someone a couple of years back, say if you preach like people will keep singing. I said, Don't you get it? How much have we even preached? We have to preach it more. Praise God. You have to preach it more. You have to say it more. Praise the name of the Lord. What do you tell them? God commended His love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. While we were yet, that is, at that point we were yet sinners. You don't die for those who are not sinners. So why are you scared of preaching the same message to them? The reason why he died is because they were doing it. God. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to which God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and imputing their trespasses. Hallelujah. He has committed the message of reconciliation. You can get the, you know, every time Moses shouted at the Egyptians, at the Jews, they will change for some time. That's why we have so many false conversions. Out of fear, they've never known the love of God. I was preaching somewhere, and a sister, I believe she was Christian, she just came at a seminar. She was crying. She knelt down. She said, I never knew Jesus was like this. I was preaching the revelation of Jesus. He was never, she said, I never heard Jesus like this. I've been saved for maybe 20 years. I've never heard Jesus like this. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. But when the pastor of the church has seen one Jesus that was angry in the vision. Are you still there? Praise the Lord. For God so loved the world
What about saying that when you are preaching? You know the way people say it when they are preaching is as if they don't like it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How can you talk about that? You are frowning. You say, for God so loved the world. Hallelujah. That's how you preach it. Not for God so loved the world
that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him.
New wine in the old wine skin.
For God so loved the world that I'm warning you.
That he gave his only begotten Son.
See, hear me very well.
Whosoever believes. But he that does not believe, came calm down now. He has not even heard it not to believe. You already say, he that does not believe. He has not even heard it for him not to believe. He that does not believe. How is that a message?
That believes has. But if you don't believe, you have not preached the gospel.
You need to tell them if you don't believe. He's not telling the consequence of them not believing. This is the one you are preaching. Tell them, if you don't believe.
If you don't believe. If you don't believe what I'm saying.
If you don't believe. You try not believing. Try it.
Faith comes by hearing the message. Hallelujah. 1 John 2:1. If any man sin, let him know he has an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, not only ours, but for the whole world.
Hallelujah. Imagine preaching that. Have people heard the gospel enough? They have not. They have heard people give them tracts and they will draw hellfire.
See your hair cuts here.
You see it. There was some tracts that were made in the 80s and the early 90s. You will know it's Kisokoti. That is in hell. And today Jordan.
No, you know it's Kisokoti because the person in hell, the pastor in hell will have collar and then will have call.
So I asked one of them one day.
I said, why do you people always draw Jericho? He said, is he of God? How can a man be doing his hair like a woman?
He was already angry at me. Me, I wasn't wearing Jericho. And he was angry at me. You know, people down there are always angry. Some folks came to see me in church to talk to me about something. They wanted me to do something for them. They are not members of church. And they were already threatening. I could see where they were coming from, the kind of church they are from. They threatened them every Sunday. See, if you don't pray, if you don't fast, if you don't read your Bible,
ha! You don't read your Bible.
I told the guy, I said, but when you were born, didn't you have Jericho? He looked at me. Answer now. You were born with Jericho from God. From that day, he asked no more questions.
Are you there? Acts 10. When you go to preach, remember what the angel said to Peter. What God has cleansed, don't call common. Hallelujah. What God has cleansed, Acts 10:15, thou shalt not call common. Look at verse 22. This is very vital. Acts 10. Cornelius said, what did the angel tell him? Send for thee into your house to hear words of thee. To hear words of thee. Hear me very well. God has sent us to people who will determine the words to use. You can use harsh words. They will hear words of thee. Words. 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 What kind of words do you use to talk about what Jesus has done? Are they words of threat? Are they words that are embalmed with the wrath of the law? So they will hear words of you. The words you will say. So people's salvation are in what we say. If you tell them what is not the scripture, they will not be saved. They will not be saved. They will try to change. They will come to church out of fear, but they are not saved. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. If
This is, I've asked this question before, I think it was Kaish Kam in 2007. If peradventure we find out that there is no heaven and hell, some people will stop going to church. In fact, many people. So what's the point? So you can imagine what they really believe. Remember that question I asked you? 2007. I think I asked before then. You don't know the question? And what you find out, there is no, I think the second one, there's no Bible. Right? It's an old question I used to ask people like that in ministry in the 90s. Ask them, the words that you speak. Look at verse 23. Peter had to lodge them in against their culture, against what he believed under the law. Look at 28. You know how that is unlawful. A lawful thing for a man as a Jew to keep company or come unto another one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Did you hear that? Don't call any man common or unclean. Glory to God. Salvation is for everybody. So, have you seen that the ministry of Peter changed in Acts 10? Can you see? His ministry changed. But Ananias and Sapphira died. Victims of his not learning the word. There are so many people in those kind of ministries today that are suffering from the ignorance, both willful and unwillful, of their leader. Glory to God. See his sermon. When he started, you can know that he was jittery. Verse 34 and 35. What was he saying? We have seen this before. 34. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That, I think that's the tone he started with. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. See his mindset. See someone. Boto, boto. Then he started talking about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's where faith will come from. Just talk about Jesus. Oh, but pastor, the guy is transsexual. Just talk about Jesus. He's bisexual. Just talk about Jesus. The only cure is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so he went on. Look at verse 42. Let's say 42 and 43 together. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, everybody come on, that it is he which is ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. 43, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believes in him should receive remission of sin. Is this not contradicting verse 34? Whosoever believes, hallelujah, hallelujah, whosoever believes, as long as, now watch this, salvation is possible when people mix the law and grace, just like Peter here, but spiritual growth is not possible. That's why it's possible to find people saved. But again, sometimes it's so difficult to detect whether they were saved. Because it depends on which part of the sermon somebody held on to. Because there is no faith in the law. There's no faith in the works of righteousness. Faith is only found where Jesus is preached. So Peter's sermon had changed. The way he was preaching was changed. Did you discover that in Peter's sermon, he did not judge their conduct? He said nothing about their lifestyle. Nothing. In Acts 11:14. Look at this. Look at it. Please turn to these verses because I want you to read it. Acts 11:14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all your house shall be saved? Who determines the words? You do. So don't misrepresent Jesus Christ. Don't judge conduct when you are preaching. Don't judge conduct. Because that is not the gospel. Don't judge conduct when you are preaching. Hallelujah. Preach Christ. Don't say preach Christ. Go to Acts 15. Peter's ministry has changed now. And I believe God, there are people all over the world whose ministries are going to change. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We cover the earth. We cover the earth. Hallelujah. Acts 15. So, when Acts 15, when those folks were saying that they have to be circumcised, did you notice that there were two sets of people the apostles taught against, particularly Paul? Those who preached money as the gospel and those who preached the law. Two sets of people, they did not look Uche's face at all. Two sets. One day I'll tell you why. Acts 15, are you there? Look at how Peter preached. He said, men and brethren, verse 7, you know that a good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. Did you hear my word by mouth? And what? Acts 15, are you there? I told you open there. Hear the word of the gospel and do what?
And believe.
And what? And what? Believe. God which knows the hearts. Oh, bore them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost even as he did unto us. Let's take verse 9 together. Putting no difference.
Hey! Putting no
difference between us and them. Why? Purifying their hearts by faith. This is the gospel. Purifying their hearts by faith. Look at verse 10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God? To put a yoke upon the neck of disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Can we take verse 10? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as we. So Peter summoned out what? Faith and grace.
He had grown up spiritually. But people had already were victims of his spiritual growth. Romans 10:8. What said the word is nigh thee in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Pay attention. In John 7:37-38, Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, in John 3:16, whosoever believes, in Mark 6:15, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. In 1 John 5:4, praise God. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. In Romans 10:13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's whosoever. It has nothing to do with what they are doing in their lives. It's whosoever. Don't say whosoever. So the gospel is for whosoever. Two key words in evangelism. Faith and grace. Grace, what Christ has done. Faith, what they will receive. How they receive what Christ has done. Repentance in the gospel is faith towards Jesus Christ or in Christ. Ephesians 2:8, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. 1 Corinthians 2:2. I determined not to know anything among you. I made up my mind. But Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You can determine what you preach. Don't let people determine how you preach. You know your message. You know what you are going to say. Jesus Christ. And it's not, I'm talking about Jesus. And I said, Him crucified. So our message is zeroed in on the event of redemption. Him crucified. Romans 10, quickly. Romans 10. Romans 10 is a charter, or better still, the charter of the preacher of the gospel. In verse 11, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. In verse 13, whosoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. I was sharing this with you yesterday, remember. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard, or believed, pardon me? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Notice the word without a preacher. It's not without somebody preaching. Without a preacher of the message. And this will inspire many of us who understand the grace of God to do evangelism more. Because those who don't understand the grace of God are also reaching out. And they are confusing men about what Christ has done. The more reason why we have to be aggressive at preaching what Christ has done. How shall they hear without a preacher? They can hear from churches. But have they heard from the preachers? Those who were sent.
Hallelujah. Remember yesterday? Those who were what? Sent.
Sent with the message. Sent with the message. 2 Corinthians 4:6.
Look at that. 4:5.
2 Corinthians 4:5 and 6. We preach not, verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Glory to God.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Christ. Not my own story. Not my pastor's story. The story of Jesus. How he died. How he was buried. Raised the third day. Today he's an intercessor. Hallelujah. To everyone that comes to God for him. That's the message. It's not your brethren. Say, ex-cultists come to Christ. So we sit down here 2 hours of how he drank blood. How is that the message? How is that the gospel? That's not a preacher of the gospel. That's a testifier of himself. That's a storyteller. The preacher of the gospel talks about what Christ has done. Are you there? The word preaches, the word keruso, 61 times. Is used for newscasters today. Town criers. Preaching is not analyzing people. I've told you that before. You don't analyze people. What is it to preach is what? Just say it. Don't say, praise the Lord in the bus. On the last day, only true believers. You want to preach, I'm saying true believers. To those who have not believed. Only true believers will be raptured. Brethren, can you imagine? They are really your brethren. Brethren, I come here to tell you about Jesus Christ. There was somebody like that in Malaysia who was traveling from Malaysia to Oyo town. You know, people tell stories. Who sent you all this nonsense? I bring to you Jesus Christ. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the message. You don't analyze people's lives. Don't go there. And then you see the guy with Gouda. He's not good for your head. How is that the gospel? If Gouda was what was making people die, I don't want to say something else here. You don't analyze people's lives. Look at Paul in Acts 17 in Athens. He just preached Jesus. You preach. The key words in the preaching of the gospel, I'll highlight it for you. Number one. They will call upon the name of the Lord. They will believe. They will hear. Watch this. You will preach. They will have faith. And the message is Christ. I'll take it one more time. They will call on the name of the Lord. They will believe. Because they have heard. Because someone has preached unto them and offered faith to them. Because the message is Christ. I'll take it one more time. They will call on his name. Because they have believed. They have believed because they have heard about him. They have heard because you have preached him to them. And because there's faith in your message. And that message is Christ. Is that clear? Shall I go over it again? They will call because they have believed. They will believe because they have heard. They will hear because you preached. What you preach has faith. And that message is Christ. Is that clear? Romans 10:17. Glory to God. The message. That's why in the book of Acts, you see mixtures. Mixtures in what they are doing. Book of Acts, let's run there quickly. Mixtures. Why were there so much mixtures in Book of Acts? Because people's background was religious. They had a religious background. Forget Peter and the apostles, let's look at others. Acts 6:7. The word of God increased and multiplied, and a number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great number, Acts 6:7, of the priests were obedient to the faith. So they were priests. Acts 15.
Acts 6, sorry. Hold on, please. Acts 11. Verse 2. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, Christians, but they were still of the circumcision in their minds. They are believers, but they had not fully embraced the message. Acts 11. So that when they went out in evangelism, they preached the word to none, verse 19, but unto only Jews. So you can expect their ministries not to reflect legalism. Acts again. 15 and verse 1. Let's read that one together. Acts 15 and verse 1. Let's go. And certain men which come down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. They were teaching. So, they grew in ministry with that background. And they are bound today in the churches. Look at verse 5. And there arose up, watch this, they rose up, they grew. Don't forget, we had read Acts 6, 7, they were what? Priests. In Acts 11, and they continued. That means, the apostles allowed the law to grow. So these folks were allowed to still retain their system of beliefs. They were priests. A lot of them. We say, well, they came from holiness background. That's not the point. And see this. By Acts 11, they had a problem with Peter. To know the kind of influence they had. After Peter's vision, people still did not preach to Gentiles. They agreed with the grace of God. They will even mention it in their sermons. But that's not their message. That's why today, many people preaching grace are corrupted with the Old Testament. Like I was saying to someone yesterday, so what I said to that guy, he's an able minister of the Old Testament. Not of the spirit, but of the letter. Able minister. The man is from somewhere in the middle belt. Selah. A classic teacher of the other side. Who doesn't want his picture on flyers. Doesn't answer by pastor. Brother so so and so. Acts 15. They grew. Look at verse 5. And there arose a certain of the sect of the Pharisees. Can you see that they did not change? A sect. Sect is the word heresy. Where you have heresis. H-A-R-E-S-I-S. Is used for an opinion. They are believers. Are they believers? And they are heretics. Heretics in scripture was used for those who were preaching the law of Moses. Today, they blackmail those who are preaching Christ and the grace of God as the heretics. No. It's those who were preaching the law of Moses that were called heretics. Heresis. You find that word used several times. 1 Corinthians 11, 19, Paul used it. An opinion. In Corinth, I'll talk about that in a moment. Acts 5, 17, rather quickly. Acts 24, verse 5. Acts 24, verse 14. Acts 26, verse 5. Acts 28, verse 22. I'll take it again. Acts 5, 17. Acts 24, 5. Acts 24, 14. Acts 26, 5. Acts 28, 22. Believers here are called heretics. 1 Corinthians 11, 19. Paul says, there are heresies among you. In Corinth, where Paul founded the church. Why? Because they were listening to other people. So there was heresies. Opinion. So I say, we don't all have to agree. Can you imagine people are saying that today in the churches? That you must not have a man of God you agree with all the time. So what's the meaning of that? Tell me scripture and verse for that. That means you are worshiping the man. You are a fool. It's not about a man. It's about the message. They are taking their minds off the message to men. You cannot have somebody. You must have a place where you don't agree. That's heretic. You just want to have a difference. These guys were Pharisees. They brought in the law into the gospel. And they are bound till today. Do you know that Paul's major opposition in the book of Acts was from them? It was believers that wanted Paul dead. Do you know why? The law works wrath. You imagine how? That's how the law works. Have you not seen people? I've seen places where Christians were the ones who opposed ministries and sought to injure those who came to do a program that did not believe in what they were doing. And they will leave Jehovah's Witness alone. They will leave Hare Krishna. They will come after those who they say they are preaching grace. That's how it works. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So are you still there? In Corinth, Galatians 5:19 calls it the work of the flesh. 2 Peter 2:1, Peter talks about it too. Now here James. Unfortunately, I wish Peter was the last speaker. That's why it's bad to have a program and have the kind of speakers. After Peter spoke, James now spoke. James accepted what Peter said. He now added his own. Thank God for the last preacher. That was really a good message, sir. Bless you, sir. That was the word of God. Hallelujah. However, brethren, that was exactly what James did here. And James said, he was talking. Wherefore, verse 19, my sentence is this. Why sentence? That we trouble not them which are among the Gentiles have turned to God, but we write them. That they abstain from pollutions of adults, from fornication. What have you done now? From things strangled and from blood, verse 20. From Moses of old. Is he any different from them? Hath in every city them that preach him been read in the synagogues every Sabbath day? So what did he do? He's plus 5, minus 500. For as much as we heard that the certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subversing your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law. To whom we give no such commandment. What they did was just, he took out some and left some. He said, don't circumcise. There's no need for that one. We're already saved by grace. Don't do that one. But you have to pay tithe. Don't circumcise. That's not that. We're under grace. Why should we circumcise? But eat bread and communion tithe. And this one. You have to baptize by water. Though we know we're already washed. But you see, those are the two traditions that Lord left. So, plus 5, minus 500. Able minister of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 21. I was myself and a friend of mine sharing yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Well, we said that. I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And I was on the phone and said, well, yes, I'm on the phone. I'm just laughing. Able minister of the Old Testament. Not of the spirit, but of the letter. Acts 21, verse 20. When they heard about Paul, the glorified Lord, and said, see, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are what? They are what? Are they believers? But they are zealous of what? Let's take 21. They'll come and get what they are saying. Look at it. Let's do 21. And they are informed of thee, that you teach all the Jews, which are among the Gentiles, to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after their customs. What is it therefore? The multitude must need come together, for they will hear that you have come. Do this therefore, that we say to thee, we have four men which have taken a vow on them. They are so angry. Let me ask you, were they working miracles, signs and wonders, but their message was corrupted. Their message was corrupted. He that worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law. Galatians 3:5. Are you there? Peter in Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 5, Acts 9 was preaching until Acts 10, his message started being smoothed out. So it's either you are preaching pure grace, pure faith, all the love of God, all works. Hebrews 13:9. Do not be carried about with strange meats. Let the heart be established with grace. Your message must be pure Christ. Pure. Don't say pure. Pure Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Pure Christ. Look at Acts 13. Where there's an opposition to the message. Acts 13:42. When the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And then when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue the grace of God. So when you preach, you will have different people. Some will believe and some will not believe. The next Sabbath, they came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Then the Jews, what they do? They began to contradict Paul. But verse 46, they waxed bold. Hallelujah. We waxed bold. Praise God. And they kept preaching. They kept preaching. The Bible says 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. You must not stop. Put it on Facebook. Put it on Twitter. Praise God. Put it on Periscope. Put it everywhere. Don't stop. Opposition inspires us to continue. Hallelujah. For the Jews set up the devout and honorable men and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and expelled them. That was why they shook up their feet. They chased them out. They chased them out. Praise God. They chased them out. Acts 17 and verse 32. Sometimes you will preach and people will say, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, Acts 17:32, some mocked. Some mocked. Don't face them and make another sermon out of that. We make that mistake. Some will laugh you to scorn. Some mocked and others said, we'll hear you again on this matter. You see that? They did not dust their feet at these ones. These ones did not throw them out. They only mocked. Some will mock today just like Paul himself and will receive tomorrow. Are you there? So your message must be pure grace. Pure. Verse 34. Let's take 34. Albeit certain men cleave unto him and believed. Among the which was Dionysus, the Areopagite, and the woman named Damaris, and others with them. So among those who will hear you again on this matter, did they receive later? They did. Never stop. Hallelujah. We're not angry at sinners. Praise God. We're compassionate in preaching to them. In Acts 18 and 6, why did he say, your blood is upon your head? They opposed and they blasphemed. Jesus said, every sin shall be forgiven, but not what? The blasphemy. That's what they did. They blasphemed. They resisted them. They threw them out. In evangelism, you will find these kind of things. But notice something in verse 7, Acts 18. And when he departed hence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined heart to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So there will always be those who oppose and those who what? Believe. Are you following what I'm saying? In Acts 19. in Acts 19. Are you out there? Are you out there? In Acts 19. Also, when you go to preach, ask questions. I shared that with you yesterday. Have you received, verse 2, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Ask questions. And they answered him back. I told you yesterday morning, don't assume because people go to churches and they have wristbands that they are born again. All those things are religious things. Organized religion. Wristband, t-shirt, face caps. What do you have again? Stickers. Bless you. It is well. Shondai. It's all religious. Ask questions. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Some of them will say, well, I just know, I know that God will help me one day. They're not born again. You ask questions. But what did Paul do? He preached unto them. Do you know that in the same place in Ephesus, as he began to speak, look at Acts 19, in verse 9, divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude. He left them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school one Tyrannus. What happened? Look at verse 10. And this continued by the space of how many years? 2 years. So that all they which dwelt in Asia, they heard. They heard. Something they heard. We must put the word out. They heard. The word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks, give opportunities to people. They heard. That's the only way they can believe. They have to hear. Someone said to hear. Say it again, to hear. They heard. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. They heard. The word must be preached in such a way that everybody is going to hear it. Everybody, everywhere will hear it. Acts 20:32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them who are sanctified. Acts 20. Look at 25. He says, verse 20, pardon me, and none of these things, he says, moves me, that I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel of what? Of the gospel of what? Of the grace of God. That's the message. In verse 20, he says, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance towards God. What is repentance towards God? Faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I say faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 26. That's how to preach. Not everybody will believe. So you don't preach a message everybody wants to hear. That will be watering down the message. But as some oppose, others will believe. And as they oppose it, you work stronger. You work stronger. You preach more. Acts 26. Here is Paul. He's talking to very influential men in the society. Rulers. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, preaching none other things than what with the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ shall suffer, and he should be the first that shall rise from the dead. Hallelujah. And show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. I said, praise the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what he was preaching. That's what he was preaching. Acts 26, verse 22. That's what he was preaching. Look at this. And then Festus says, you speak the words of truth. He says, so much learning has made you mad, Paul. And Paul says, I'm not mad. Most noble Festus. but speak forth the word of truth and soberness. For the king knows of these things. He just brought that one out. Come, you are a Jew, with whom also I speak freely. For I'm persuaded none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in the corner. King Agrippa, believes thou the prophet? I know you believe. Hallelujah. Then Agrippa said, persuade me almost to be a Christian. And Paul says, I would to God that not only you, but all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except with these bones. So the gospel is not materialistic. That's what he's saying. Be as I am. Faith in the heart. Hallelujah. The gospel in the mouth. Glory to God. They say, ah, come and be like this rich brother in our church. Be as I am. He's in chains, though. Be as I am. Believe the gospel as I have believed. Are you there? Acts 28. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Acts 28. Are you learning something? Verse 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things that concern who? That concern who? The Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. That concern who? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message. It must be Christ-centered, Christ-focused. His work for all men. Watch this. Let me quickly mention this because it's a very vital part of what I'm sharing. Do you know that in the book of Acts, and this is important, that when you talk about faith and miracles, it's not the same thing as faith and salvation. People can have faith for miracles and they are not saved. Let's point out some examples. In Acts 3, the crippled man at a gate called Beautiful, was he a believer? I'm asking the question. Was he a believer? No. Was he healed? Was there faith to be healed? Yes. But he's not a believer. Hallelujah. Follow this. Acts 5, 12 and 14. Those who brought the sick, that maybe the shadow of Peter will fall on them. Were they believers? Were they believers? Did they act by faith? Yes. Many messages of faith in churches can be used by believer and unbeliever alike. Did you hear what I said? Can be used by believer and unbeliever alike. Which is not wrong because healing is for everybody. But you must never substitute that. And you can grow a church on that, but not on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying. Do you get this at all? Look at Acts 6. Acts 6. Stephen did much miracles, verse 8 and 9, amongst the people. Much miracles amongst the people. Then he began to preach to them. He had done miracles. People received miracles and they were not saved. I showed you that yesterday, remember? When Jesus multiplied fish and bread, and then when he began to preach, people walked away. Quickly look at this. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. Philip went down to Samaria and then he preached Christ in verse 5 and 6. Look at 6. Let's take 6 together. Acts 8. Are you there? I wait for you. Are you there? And the people who were called gave heed unto the things that Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirit came out with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and then they were lame, were healed. There was great joy in that city. Now, Look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So, when he was working the miracles, were they believers? No. Was there joy? Yes. Were they believers? No. So we must never associate this with salvation. It's not the same thing. Acts 19. Sorry, Acts 9, verse 35 was very different. Acts 9, 35. Peter had said, Jesus Christ, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise and make that bed. And he rose immediately. And all that dwelt in Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. The same thing happened also in 42 when he raised up the lady from the dead, Dorcas. He was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. So, the miracles that happened, then he believed. Praise God. Follow this. Acts 9. Okay, I read 42 to you. Look at Acts 14. Verse 7. And where they preached the gospel himself and Barnabas, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said unto the man, said unto him with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and he walked. We don't have evidence that this fellow was saved. Yet there was faith present. The woman with the issue of blood, she had faith to be healed. But that faith isn't salvation. The centurion, he had faith to be healed or have a servant healed. But that faith wasn't salvation. Faith and salvation, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to be called sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Miracles are not the message. Miracles can bring crowd to hear the message. So as they come, ensure that you preach what? The message. You preach the message. The message is where salvation is. The message where faith is. Acts 15. Paul and Barnabas declaring that miracles and wonders God wrought among the Gentiles by them. Glory to God. In Acts 16, 16, the lady that was possessed of devils had demons cast out of her, and she wasn't a believer. Same in Acts 19, verse 10 and 11 and 12. Special miracles were wrought from the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick, anchored in aprons, and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. These were not believers. At least not only believers. This was the old city. So we must be careful not to substitute the message for the miraculous. Sometimes we focus so much on the miraculous, we forget that it's the message that brings salvation. Let me ask you a question. Did Moses not work miracles? I'm asking you a question. Did Moses not work miracles? In Numbers 20, did he not have water come out of the rock in disobedience and water came out? He worked miracles. Miracles must never be used to replace the message. Hallelujah. Let me show you something. Look at Matthew's Gospel chapter 12. I'm closing now. Matthew's Gospel chapter 12. Verse 38. You must be careful not to be found
performing for people. Matthew's Gospel 12. And certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from you. They wanted a sign. Then he said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, but there shall be no sign be given to it, but a sign of the prophet Jonah. For Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Praise God. See, that's the sign. That's the sign. That's what will bring faith. That's what will bring salvation. Praise God. I said, praise God. What distinguishes Christ from magicians is what he did for us. Do you hear what I just said? An evil and adulterous generation look for signs. Say, well, I'm just going to give you one sign. The sign that I am Jesus Christ. I'm the promise of the prophets that I'm going to die and be buried 3 days, 3 nights. And I'll rise again the third day. That is where salvation will come from. Salvation does not come from healing and miracles. Healing and miracles are to make men hear. Did you hear what I'm saying? But not all the time. Salvation is not in signs and wonders. Salvation is the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 1. Are you learning something? 1 Corinthians 1. Glory to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1. The magician can work miracles. A magician can work miracles. Moses before Pharaoh, they threw down their rods, he threw his own. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1. Are you there? Verse 22. Let's take it together. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's two different opposing things. There are those who are seeking for miracles. Those who are looking for knowledge, strange knowledge, in the churches. And if they're comfortable preaching philosophy, mixing with scriptures, it looks intellectually acceptable to the corporate world. It says, for the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. Come on, take verse 23 together. Hallelujah. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, to them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Did you notice that the power of God in the epistles was zeroed down to the work of redemption, not to miracles and signs? Did you notice that? Did you notice that? That's the message of the preacher of the gospel. Magicians can do what many people are doing today. That should not discourage you, because miracles are in our path and we contend for them. But miracles must never become our message. A magician can heal the sick. A magician can cure, can raise the dead. But a magician cannot preach Christ crucified. Hallelujah. He can't preach Christ crucified. He can't preach the redemptive reality of Christ's work. Hallelujah. In there is salvation through faith. Glory to His name. Hallelujah. I said, don't become a magician. It's in my note. Let the wonders show the love of God. Amen. So when you are preaching healing, don't tell people, four ways to be healed. Healing miracles are for everybody. Don't tell people to be saved before they are healed. You are lying. They don't have to be saved. Don't tell them, you know what, if you want this miracle, you have to do so, so and so. You are lying to them. The Jews had miracles worked for 40 years and they did not believe the gospel. Preached miracles as a show of God's love. Hallelujah. He makes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. The rain to fall on the wicked. The righteous and the unrighteous. He blesses all. Hallelujah. He heals all. Hallelujah. So, in ministering to the sick, minister to everybody. Don't ask faith from them. Faith only happens when they receive. Don't say, do you believe? Do you? No. Don't put pressure on people. Just minister the power of God. Hallelujah. But don't forget, you don't stop there. It's to give you a platform to say, now listen to what I want to say to you. Praise God. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God that became a man. Amen. He lived on this earth for 3.5 years. And finally, he went to the cross to die for you and I. Right now, he has given us liberty. Praise God and grace that when we accept this message, we are now sons of God. Hallelujah. He's offering you his spirit now. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the message. 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 The New Testament ministry does not make miracles his message. It doesn't. Miracles are not his message. I said we preach Christ as a message. And we preach it. Praise God. Accompanied by miracles. But we don't preach miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Peter also, in Luke's Gospel 5, Jesus had already multiplied his catch of fish for him. Peter said, I'm a sinner, move away. Come, I'll make you fishers of men. Praise God. So miracles are for everybody. Miracles are for everybody. Miracles are for everybody. So you don't say a church is full of Christians because miracles are worked there. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are called Christians because they believe in Jesus Christ. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying very well. Praise God. Your message is where salvation is. Your message. I leave you with these words as I close. You know, for many of us, we can look back in our lives and say, we've come on a journey. And as we grew, that's why sometimes I pity Peter, as we grew, because of our background, we've had to clean up what we're preaching. But I'm trusting God, for many of you won't have to go through what we went through. That's why we're laboring this much, to make sure what we give you is a pure message. It has nothing, no adulteration, no impurities. So you are really able ministers of the New Testament. Hallelujah. Pure grace, pure faith, pure Christ, pure love. Hallelujah. Pure light, no darkness, no shadows, no symbols. Hallelujah. Just the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your ministry be purely the New Testament. Whether you're talking about material blessings or healing miracles, be focused on Jesus. See how Jesus multiplied people materially. Whether it's the 5 loaves, 2 fish, whether it's the drought, the catch of the great catch of fish. See how it was done. He didn't put pressure on anybody. He didn't ask them to give. He didn't ask them to do anything. He just multiplied it. See how he healed the sick. Many of them who eventually stoned him, they would touch his clothes and they got healed. Many of them that did not like him got healed. Hallelujah. That is how you present those things. Amen. If you want this thing to happen to you, you have to accept Jesus. That is not salvation. That's not salvation. And that's what people preach. I was listening to Joel Osteen and I shook my head. He said, do you want God to take you to another level? You want to change this? And so say, see after me. That is not salvation. People that hear that and do that are not saved. That's not salvation. getting healed is not salvation. Hearing that you can be healed is not salvation. Hearing that your life can change is even a false gospel. Do you know Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures? He was buried and raised again. And today, He stands and sits as your intercessor. If you can come to God through Him, you'll be saved forever. What have I just done? I presented pure Jesus to you. Pure. Altogether lovely. Altogether wonderful. Altogether grace. Hallelujah. Do not twist the message. Do not add your anger to it. Do not add your emotions to it. Preach Christ. Not out of anger towards people. Not out of feelings towards people. Preach Christ and Him crucified. Paul says, I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I believe God. The day is coming. We're raising ministers that have a pure message. Pure message. And I made up my mind. I was last night and I meditated for hours. I said, because I was studying through some things. I said, I'm going to walk more. I'm going to be more diligent. I'm going to be more precise. I'm going to labor a lot. We must produce pure ministers of the New Testament. Hallelujah. And I give myself, I vow my life, I'm going to work hard and ensure that people are given the right message to preach. Because I perceive a mighty harvest of souls in the nations of the world. Hallelujah. Where people begin to serve Christ, not out of guilt, not out of compulsion, but by grace. Hallelujah. I perceive in my heart that in the nations of the world, we're raising the first breed of ministers, young and old, great and small, who will serve God out of a pure conscience. Not that they are paying anything back. Not that they are under pressure, under fear. No. People are no longer afraid to call God their Father. They can pray without a sense of guilt. They know they are born again. They know they have been received forever. They know that already. So when they go out to serve God, they do it out of love for the one who has loved them. I commit myself to this. I vow for the rest of my life, that's what I will be doing. Just training them, raising them, ensuring that the message that they preach is pure grace, pure New Testament, pure life. Glory to God, pure faith, pure Christ, in the name of Jesus. And I trust God for millions of that in the coming days. I've been praying and believing God to have 1 million men. 1 million men around the world who are going around planting churches, doing meetings, conventions, outreaches. And what they are preaching is the same message. It will come to pass. Stand to your feet in the name of Jesus and worship Him. Praise God. Lift your hands and bless Him. 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 So I have received a ministry of the New Testament. Pure grace. Pure Christ. Pure faith. Pure life. No adulteration. I preach Christ only. I preach Christ only. The love of God only. The grace of God only. In the name of Jesus. Worship and give Him praise. Let's sing that song, We Cover the Earth. Thank you, Jesus. We cover the earth.